This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Of course, a lot of reason for people to be listening is for the money, right?
Yep.
Should we just get it done?
Let's do it.
Quick shout out to MasterChef, but they gave us a bunch of goodies today. And you know what? We've been giving away so much on air, we thought we'd keep this one to ourselves. A bunch of plates.
Oh, napkins. Alan, I'm so excited.
Place settings.
So every so often we will. So people think you get a lot of free stuff in radio. It's not like it used to be.
Well, also, we're not like Perth or Sydney or Melbourne. You know what I mean? Like, we're not like a proper like metro
the smaller
standard.
Smaller stations don't get a lot.
We're an afterthought.
We are. But every so often we do get sent something and geez, it's exciting.
We fight for it.
We do.
Yeah.
But we divvied this up pretty evenly and pretty good.
It actually worked out perfectly.
It did. So MasterChef sent us these beautiful plates by an Australian company called Roundhouse, right?
Like the kick.
Pretty much. These plates, I've been looking at these plates since I moved. So when we originally bought the house, that was going to be my homewarming gift to myself.
Oh, but you didn't buy them.
I didn't buy them because then the expenses kicked in of owning a house.
Yep.
Which, you know, I'm not after any tiny violins. There's a rental crisis, okay?
So wait, so am I not?
We're not giving me any sympathy.
All right, sorry. I've got an orchestra ready to. Guys, I don't think she needs it today.
But I will say.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I can't justify the cost of them. And the fact that, like, this is so full circle that I ended up getting gifted some. Like, I honestly love
this. You manifested it, mate, and it happened.
I think I did, honestly.
So there's a couple of plates, all sorts of goodies. So thank you, MasterChef, is my point. Let's do this, but Alpha Bucks, your letter for tomorrow is P for Poppy, Carly.
Okay.
Starting with P, name me. This is actually very easy tomorrow. Like, really? I'm going to do this one because I feel like maybe some people might struggle with it. All right. Starting with the letter P, name me a male actor.
Paul Rudd.
Bang, on the sheet. Yep, Patrick Swayze's on there as well.
R.I.P.
Yeah, absolutely. So, options, you know what I mean? But
so that's the hardest one.
It's the one that's a bit of a thinker. Everything else is pretty much pine on. Like, I mean, my brain goes straight to one. You might judge me for the way I can answer it really quickly, but we'll deal with that tomorrow during the show.
Am I speaking out of turn?
In what sense?
Producer Shelby might have to edit this out.
Wow.
But didn't the other day we convince our boss Dan to do something pretty exciting on Fridays?
We can allude to it. It's not going to be this week.
Not starting this week?
Yeah.
Okay. So
maybe not even
next week.
Maybe not even next week. We have to get all the stuff created and the guy that does it's on holiday.
Oh. Starting soon, we're going to have a big announcement around Alpha Bucks.
Yeah. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Okay.
Shelby doesn't need to edit that out.
Okay.
We're giving like double the money on Fridays. Edit that out.
He's gone wrong.
But that will come. That announcement will come formally. But you heard it here first. Now, tomorrow we're giving away $2,000. That's a guarantee. So that's thanks to Telstra. From space to your place, Telstra satellite home internet is here, bringing you streaming the streams and video calls with video. Your topic tomorrow, you're going to nail this. Around 7:30, you're going to be asking for callers. Is stars / constellations.
Okay.
30-second spiel. Oh, don't go horoscopy. You know, like,
well,
give me space.
Well, that's literally all my mind goes to.
No, don't go that. You have to, you
what
know.
What else is there?
We can talk about
Southern
the actual
Cross.
Star signs. Like, the ones that are actually there. You know what the constellations actually are.
Yeah.
Like, well, the Big Dipper. The Pot.
Gemini.
Orion's Belt. Gemini.
Oh,
like,
you know a lot about constellations.
I've got 30 seconds, baby. Put me on the clock. Let's do it.
The only ones I know is Southern Cross because everyone gets a tattoo.
Exactly. And then the fake Southern Cross as well.
What's the fake Southern Cross?
It's one that doesn't have that little star in between the bottom and the right one.
So I'm going to say something really dumb, but I don't care.
Well, you don't believe in stars.
Obviously, I do.
Okay.
Being one.
All right. So you've already said the thing that was really dumb then.
I don't believe in myself. No. I don't have the confidence to back that up.
I like it.
My
favorite Luke McGregor joke is he went out on stage and he's like that awkward, like, oh, hey, guys and stuff. And he just like, as he gets on stage, he has a little note and he looks at it and then puts it down and goes, it says believe in yourself. So cute. Yes.
So for the Southern Cross, right?
Yep.
Because the stars are in the sky everywhere, like we have one set of stars, right?
Yep.
And we don't have a certain set of stars per country. Why do people associate the Southern Cross with Australia?
Southern Hemisphere. You can only really see it from the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why it's Southern Cross.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, because, yeah, there would be different stars in different places because it's not like the sun or moon where there's only like a certain.
Correct.
There's only one. Yeah. Okay. That answers my question.
There you go. I don't think it was a dumb question if you're in year three. Nah, just kidding. It's a wide question. I only know enough about Southern Cross because of Scouts.
Yeah, but so it's only the Southern Hemisphere. So why do we associate it with Australia?
No, you can see it, but I think it faces the wrong way in the Northern Hemisphere. That's why it's the Southern Cross because of the direction it points.
Technically, New Zealanders could get a Southern Cross tattoo.
Well, have you seen their flag?
Is it on there?
Yeah.
Just like ours.
Yeah, but they've got red stars.
I'm heading there soon. I should.
You should know that. Kia ora.
Get up to date with the flag so they've I don't think I've arrived at the wrong country.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So when are you getting that Southern Cross tattoo? Because I feel like we should match.
Well, now that I know that, you know, everyone can get it, it's not as unique, is it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right.
Imagine getting one on your whole back. That'd be pretty cool, actually. Again, I don't have the confidence to back that up.
Enjoy the podcast.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Right now we're asking on 131060, who did you meet that no one really cared about? It sucks. It sucks when you meet someone that you really go, oh, wow, this is so cool. And you want to tell everyone because you had this cool moment and no one cares.
Yeah, so this comes off the back of yesterday when I saw there was an article in the West Australian about Oki and what he's up to now, the surfer. And I was going to impress you and producer Shelby by saying, hey, you know who's met Oki?
Yeah.
My husband, Russ. He even has a photo that still to this day hangs in his family lounge room of him and Oki. And you were so unimpressed.
Well, I didn't know who he was. And I feel bad because
he
now I'm
like
learning.
The he's... goat of surfing.
Yeah, well, yeah. Cool.
I hope he's listening.
Oh, no, I hope he's not. I feel really bad. I feel really bad. But like, this is the case with me and a lot of like the wrestling people that I met in the past.
That's true.
I go to brag to people. I'm like, well, you know, I used to hang out with a guy, Buddy Murphy. And they're like, who? I'm like, okay. And I go home sad. But 131060. Who did you meet that no one really cared about? Alex from Bunbury kicking us off. Alex, who did you meet?
Yeah, so I was in Cologne in Germany a couple of years ago. This Irish bar that I'd frequent there. So I'd lived in the UK, used to go to Cologne pretty frequently. I walked outside of this Irish bar and got talking to a bloke outside. And I'm like, oh, hang on, you've got an Australian accent. Whereabouts are you from? We got talking a little bit and had, like, he looked really familiar. I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
So eventually I said it to him. I'm like, look, you look really familiar. I feel like I've met you or seen you before somewhere. And then it turns out that he was the long-haired guy with the red hairband from the Coles MasterCard ad. Where they were,
like,
hanging around the store.
Like down, prices are down, that guy?
Yeah, no, the Coles MasterCard one.
Okay, even more niche ad.
Yeah, I don't even know who you're talking about, but I do appreciate the fact that you hopefully got a photo with him. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
That would have made his whole day.
and did you tell anyone? What were their reactions?
So I told a bunch of people that I knew from Australia, and they were like, which Coles MasterCard? Like,
that's so good.
I feel like that got you through some tough times, Alex.
Give him a bottle of sauce. Oh, that's so good. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Alex, you get yourself a bottle of morning sauce. Let's go to Beryl in Geraldton. Who was it for you? Who did you meet that no one really cared about?
Brian Mannix from Young Kenny X-Men back in 1986.
Yep.
Okay, that's a lot of words coming at me, Beryl, that I'm trying to digest.
That's exactly what I'm looking for, Mark.
I'm sorry, Beryl. I want to give you the reaction that you never got, but I just don't understand it. I don't know. Who?
His name's Brian Mannix. He's, he had a hit called Everybody Wants to Work. No, no, not me.
You know what? I like him. That sounds like a bop I can get around.
Something I can get around.
I've got photos of the concert I went to and he's all his band members. And I show my kids and everybody else. They go, who's that?
Shelby's done a Google for us. The Uncanny X-Men were an Australian pop rock band. They formed in the late 1980s. And yes,
what's he
was
now?
The main lead singer.
Hopefully he's
not
listening
much,
to this.
Oh, wow. Beryl, that's perfect.
Well, thank you for keeping his legacy alive.
Absolutely.
Or even giving him one.
Every morning.
He'll be looking on the trends, Google trends. You got a little spike this morning. Give Beryl a bottle of sauce, please. Let's go to Glenn in Busselton to wrap it up. Glenn, who did you meet that no one cared about?
The Hoff.
Okay, now we care about that, Glenn.
Like David
I don't think
Hasselhoff.
You understand the assignment.
Well, I know. I was working on a reef pontoon off Queensland coast in Whitsundays, and the Baywatch crew were coming out, and we were all excited thinking the girls were coming out, but it was just the boys. And the Hoff and a couple of his entourage come out. We took them diving and blah, blah, blah. I went home. I was living in a private share home.
Yeah.
At a private sort of boarding house, bragging about it. And no one gave a toss. I thought that was cool.
Like,
I love, Glenn, how you disappointed yourself, how you thought it was the girls and you just got the hop.
Oh, could you imagine? Like Pam Anderson's coming. This is going to be the best day of my life. Oh, it's David Hasselhoff. Great.
Yeah, it wasn't just me, though. It was all the other fellas on the pontoon as well.
Wait, let me get this straight. The Hasselhoff, he's turned up. He's in, I assume, red shorts.
Red shorts.
And you guys are all greeting him with disappointment and asking where Pam is.
Hey, Dave.
No. I've got photos of him, and he's in red shorts, yes.
I feel like you took that photo out of necessity to make him feel good.
Well Glenn, I'm going to be honest.
I stood on my tippy toes. When he took photos, I stood on my tippy toes and photocropped the thing out because I'm such a short bum. Yeah. I had to sit.
Well, Glenn, we're impressed for you. So, you know what? I'm impressed. Give him a bottle of sauce, Glenn. You got yourself a bottle of morning sauce. I think that went pretty well. I reckon people have a similar story when they say they met us on the streets
absolutely.
As well, Carly.
Absolutely.
I met Alan and Carly.
Like, these photos are going nowhere.
Absolutely
they're
not.
You're going to show them to some family member that's going to be confused.
It's Alan and Carly. Who? I don't even know what.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Speaking of people needing wins.
Behold! As Alan predicts... your pet's name.
All right, let's do it. Leah in Kalgoorlie is playing today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing pretty well. The way it works, I'm going to ask three questions. From those three questions, I'll get a vibe, get a bit of a feeling, and then I'm going to throw five names at you. And in those five names, I am going to successfully predict your pet's name. However, if I do not do it, Carly's going to come in with a steal and have
not
a crack
needed,
at it.
Not needed, though.
Hopefully not needed today, but we will find out. First question, Leah, is first letter of your pet's name?
D.
D. Okay. What colour is your pet?
Oh,
why do you have to think about this?
Multicolour.
Multicolour? Multicolour.
He's we'll go with tricolour.
Tricolour. Okay. Tricolour. I'm writing down tricolour. Okay, and what is the coolest trick that your pet does?
Choose fake plants.
I see that your pet has been training alongside my cat, Winston, it sounds like. Oh. Carly, are you getting anything from all these great answers so far?
I am.
Really?
I'm channeling something, but Alan, I'm going to pass that channel over to you.
Okay.
I'm going to redirect it because you need this.
I really
do.
You've
got this.
Okay. I'm starting to just... really try to get something. I don't know if I'm even close, but... All right, we'll find out. First guess, here we go. Leah has a dog. I'm feeling it's a dog, multicolour. Maybe it's a cat. Actually, you know what? Withdraw that part. All I know is the pet's name is Diesel.
No.
Okay. Four more guesses. Everyone be cool. Duke.
No.
Okay. Dexter.
Yes.
Oh, my God! Turn down for what? Yes!
Alan!
The curse has been lifted, baby.
It's been lifted!
I'm back, baby! Leah, that is great to hear. Dexter, I think I dislocated my thumb. I whacked my microphone very, very hard. I really, really hurt it. But that was all worth it. I did it!
You bloody did it, mate.
I can't believe you did it.
Oh, don't be that shocked. I mean,
it is the dawn of a new day. I mean, did I not say, Alan?
The segment's called Alan Predicts Your Pet's Name. I am bound to get it eventually. But that is incredible. I feel so great. So what type of animal was it, Leah?
He's an Aussie bulldog.
A bulldog!
Yeah.
He's
a very different colour.
That explains. I was thinking like dog and then small and cat, and I was like, wait, what do we do? Yeah, anyway, that makes sense. Dexter, Leah, thank you so much. Give an extra treat.
Worries.
Give an extra treat to him, okay?
Oh, okay, I will make sure.
There you go. That's how we do it, Carly.
Wow, mate. Oh. Like I said, It's a brand new day.
It really is.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Alan, when it comes to anything to do with like beauty and that type of thing, I'm more of a DIYer, to be honest. Mm. That's where I do like to save some cash.
And if you're anything like the DIY I'm currently doing,
it's never good.
It's just possible.
I should pay the professionals, to be honest. There was a bit of a mishap where I recently almost lost all my eyebrows because I tried some at-home lamination. That was harrowing.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, I do like to try and do things that for myself when I where I can save money.
Yep.
But there are professionals for a reason.
Yep.
Now, I get my hair chemically straightened at the hairdressers, so I probably go like once a year, right?
Yep.
But that's the only time you'll catch me at the hairdressers, and I save up for this appointment.
It's very expensive.
So it's very expensive. So it's like the one thing I do. So to justify that price, I dye my hair at home and I give myself at-home haircuts.
Yep.
Now, this probably goes for about a year until I actually go to the professional. Now, I know when I'm heading towards that chair that I have to have my excuses at the ready.
Oh, yeah. You're like me at the dentist where they're like, you've been flossing? You're like, yeah.
Exactly.
And they're like,
right.
No, you haven't. I'm like, okay.
So I thought I was ready. So I sit down in the chair. Now, I recently gave myself an at-home haircut, as you knew, Alan. It was terrible. It was uneven. Russ tried to even it up, made it worse.
Yeah.
But the one thing I didn't want was them cutting my hair because I'm like, they're going to give them an inch and they'll take 10.
Yeah.
And
you didn't want any shorter than it already was.
I didn't
was.
Want it shorter. I went a little too hot with the cutting. And even though it wasn't, you know, even, I thought, whatever, who needs even hair?
Me.
Asymmetrical baby.
Me, I need even hair.
Mm, not me. So anyway, sit down in the chair. They don't say anything. And I'm like, oh
that's
this
good.
Is great.
Yep. They know, but.
I think they know.
Yeah.
So we're getting towards the end of the appointment and I'm like, I think I've got out of here scot-free. I don't think they're going to say anything.
That's great. No judgment.
No
for
judgment.
The box die.
And
no.
They're like in my hair. You know what I mean? They're rustling around back there.
Yeah.
And then we get towards the end of the appointment. She goes, so we're going to address what's going on back here.
That's such a good way to bring it up.
And we locked eyes in the mirror. And because I went in ready with excuses like, I'm so sorry, got stuck in a blender, whatever.
Yeah.
I was caught off guard.
Yeah. And she knew what she was doing too.
She knew. She waited.
She set you.
Just when I thought I was almost out of the chair, out of the shackles.
She waited for your heart rate to drop a little bit and you're just chilling a little bit at ease and all of a sudden the attack.
Yeah. And she goes, the uneven hair color.
Oh, the color.
The color.
Oh, that's not what I was expecting.
And she goes, you've got about four different colours going on back here. She goes, are you still doing those at-home hair dye jobs?
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, no. And she goes, look, I don't think I've got time to fix this today. And I'm thinking, I'll never financially recover. I'm doing the maths in my head. I'm like, I can't afford a dye job and the straightening.
Yeah, God, no.
And she's like, I don't think I have time to address this today, but we might be able to fit you in for an emergency appointment. So what happens when you chemically straighten your hair, right?
Yeah.
It strips all of the color out.
Yeah.
So all the years of the bad box dyes have all melded into this one weird color.
No. Have you still got it? I can't see it.
Well, you can kind of see at the back how uneven it is. It's kind of stripped away the kind of paint job over the top. Like imagine like doing a bad paint job to cover up a bad paint job.
I don't have to imagine it. It's currently my house right now.
Exactly. So then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll make an appointment when I pay. I'm not making an appointment.
You're not making an appointment.
And she goes, oh, and before you go, of course, I'll even up the hair as well. She goes, you've really done a number on yourself back here. She goes, lucky we're not hiring because you wouldn't be a contender.
I love it.
And she's laughing. And then I'm laughing along with her, but I'm also like, okay,
crying.
I don't want to get the haircut. Starts chopping.
Oh, no.
She just goes for it. And to be fair, I get why she did it as a hairdresser because, honestly, Alan, it looks so bad back there.
Yeah,
I think
I've seen it.
She could not, like, she wouldn't be fulfilling her hairdresser duty to let me leave her salon with that hair.
It's like a surgeon. He wouldn't just walk away from the wound still open.
Exactly.
He's got to fix it up. He's
so
got to close it up.
She just goes for it, starts chop, chop, chopping. And I'm like watching my hair hit the ground and I'm like, oh.
Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
And not just the dollars, but the inches
amount,
fading away.
Okay.
Anyway, she did do a great
looks
job.
Great.
It looks great. And I realized that, I am all about the even hair. Did not book the appointment fixing the dye fixing job. I went straight to Chemist Warehouse afterwards. And bought myself a $6 packet. Just keep painting over it, baby. That's all you need to do.
Jesus.
There are hairdressers listening right now, literally probably losing their hair
they're
over this.
They're pulling their hair, absolutely. Alan and Carly, the podcast. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here is still continuing on Channel 10 and 10 Play. It's on again tonight, 7:30, where you can see your favourite celebrities get sent home. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened last night. Stephen K. Amos joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan and Carly. How are you? Thanks for having me.
We're doing well. Now, you are still in South Africa. You're actually just outside the jungle camp, from what we've been told. If you yell loud enough, will they be able to hear you?
Do you know what? I'm going to send smoke signals because they can't hear me, but you know what, we've got little tricks we're going to do for each other and they'll know if I've survived.
Now, Stephen, obviously you've spent the last couple of weeks in the jungle with celebrities. Who surprised you the most?
You say the last couple of weeks. I think it's nearly a month.
Oh, my, sorry, I don't mean to downplay what you've been through. Very harrowing.
I know, it's been very harrowing. Do not downplay my torture. No, the people that have surprised me the most is literally every single one of these celebs, because we've been in a situation where we don't know each other, we don't have access to any technology, our phones, our friends, our family, our loved ones, and we have to make conversation 24 hours a day.
Who did you make the closest connection with off camera? Because obviously we see the way it's edited up and we get our own ideas. But was anyone that you made a real genuine friendship with?
My real genuine friendships were with Candace, Peter, Frankie, and Skye. These people off camera 24/7 were open, were honest, and were very much listening, and I learned so much about myself and from them as well.
Did you learn way too much about NASCAR while you were in those conversations with Frankie?
Now, I've been to Adelaide. I've seen the V8s, and I also used to go to the Formula One in Melbourne, so I know a lot about race cars. And so when Frankie was talking about NASCAR, I'm like, tell me more about the sitcom. Enough about cars.
Now, Stephen, obviously you've been around for a long time now, not to age you. You've performed all over the world. Do you get more nervous when you've got celebrities in the crowd? And who's been the most surprising celebrity that you've found out has been watching your comedy?
I did a show not that long ago for Samuel L. Jackson. In fact, he asked me to do a show for him at one of his fundraising events, a golfing event in London. And he asked me because he saw me do a joke years and years ago about having an afro and being like Shaft. And at that particular golfing event, one of his guests of honor was Richard Roundtree, a really famous American actor who played Shaft in the original 1970 series. So to have him and Samuel L. Jackson in the audience was nerve-wracking, particularly as I did the Shaft joke in front of him. So yeah. I was put through my paces.
Did it get a laugh?
Oh, my, the biggest laugh ever.
That's good.
I did a show and the Queen was in attendance, as was Prince Philip, as was Prince Harry at the time. In that moment, you do those jokes and the entire audience are looking up at the royal box as if for a seal of approval. And if they see the royal family laugh, they give them permission to laugh. So thankfully, they laughed and the gig went well.
Wow. Well, unlike Prince Andrew, I would have been sweating. Before I let you go, I've got to mention that you're actually heading to WA again very soon. Next month, you got a couple of gigs in Perth at the Regal Theatre, as well as a couple other venues as well. We can't wait to see you. Full details at stephenkamos.com, mate. We can't wait to see you here.
I can't wait to get back to Perth. If you want to have a laugh and want to hear about the jungle experience, come and see me. We'll have a bit of laugh and then I'll reveal all the truth.
Oh, I love that. Any chance we can get you to do a bit of a regional tour while you're in WA? Head out to some of the other smaller towns?
I mean, what a great idea. Let's work on it. We'll put it together and we'll do it. All why right. not?
Alan, you've got yourself a job.
Actually, Carly, I'm going to leave that one with you.
Oh, okay. How do you feel about playing people's lounge rooms?
Let me just tell you, Ali and Carly, there's plenty of Stevie to go around, okay?
Yes, I love that.
Stephen K. Amos, an absolute pleasure and well done on surviving the jungle, for being in there for almost a month. Let's just round it out to a year. You're in there a year.
A decade. I was there for a decade.
Incredible decade. Stephen K. Amos, thanks for your time. Alan and Carly, the podcast. I figure with this show, I'm pretty raw, pretty honest, I like to think. And I'll talk about certain moments in my life that have happened. In particular, I want to talk about right now, and a little bit of a trigger warning, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So Since we've been working together, I've kind of shared highs and lows, the moment when I went onto medication, when I started seeking counselling. And then I shared last year that I'd stopped seeing a counsellor because, in my words, I'd graduated and I'd surpassed it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was their words, but basically because I got on a medication, I was like, all is right in the world. I don't need to talk about my feelings every couple of weeks. So I just went with the medication route. Well, I would like to officially announce that I haven't been on medication for 2 months.
Yay!
Now, I say this knowing that I have a lot of mates who are on medication.
And also, there is nothing wrong with being on medication or seeking help.
No, because I've had a few mates who have tried to wean off it and they've done all the proper ways of doing it and it just hasn't worked for them. And they go, oh, like, you know, I really do want to live a life off it, but sometimes I just need it. And it's like, yeah, mate, you do you. For me, my big moment was when we found out that we were expecting a child. And Julia came to me and was like, oh, I peed on a stick and it's positive. Holy moly. And I felt this like joy of like, oh my goodness, like this is incredible. But with this medication, it limits your lows, of course, because it doesn't want you to feel so sad. But it also limits the highs. And so I really did feel happy, but I felt like I'd been kind of blocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like my energy of like my excitement level was like, oh, I want to feel even happier, but this is as high as I can go now.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this. So I worked really hard to get off it. I kind of went down my dosage a little bit and then, I just stopped taking it. I think the doctor was okay with that. And now I'm officially off it, which is cool. And the only reason why I bring it to air, it's not because I want to brag or anything like that. I just figured I'd already told people that I was on it. I'd already told people when I was seeing a counselor. I'd already told people when I was seeing a psychologist. I figured you deserve that update as well to say that I'm now officially not on it.
Yeah.
Now, I will say I have been gaining a bit of weight. I will say I've been having a few KFCs. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a bit of weight gain once you get off this medication. But to be honest, I'm feeling great. Feeling the best I've ever felt.
And I guess that's what anyone sets out to do, especially whether they're taking medication, seeing a psychologist, whatever it is when it comes to mental health stuff, is you want to find that sweet spot that works for you, whether that's on the medication, off the medication, counselor, whatever you need. I guess everyone's end goal is, you know, every day is not going to be perfect, but to find that really nice sweet spot. And I'm so happy that you've found that.
It's good. I do. This isn't like the end. It never is.
It's such a maintenance thing, isn't it?
You never know what's around the corner. Like, obviously, mental health is something that now I start to prioritize when it comes to like making sure I get more sleep than I used to in the past. Maybe I get more exercise. I think about it. Don't know if I do it yet, but I should be.
But you're so right in saying that it is something to prioritize because that is the one thing that when that's not right, nothing is right in your life.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's I've got more stuff to work on now, but that element I've kind of gone, cool, like I'm feeling better about it. So
I'm really happy to hear that.
Thank you very much. Of course, if anyone is listening right now and you are struggling, the number for Lifeline, 13 11 14, just thought I'd throw that out there as well. But yeah, look, everything's kind of groovy on my end, which I'm excited. Obviously, got the baby on the way in July, so I'm more excited for that as well. And yeah, feeling really good. It does mean that when I feel good, I feel great. Like, we know when I won Alan Predicts Your Pet's Name earlier, I feel amazing. The highs are high, baby. The highs are high.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.